make a pledge.
That's right. You know, it's like your union dues. It protects your job, like your union dues, which protect your job. You know, it's like your church tithe, which protects your spirit. Your KBOO membership protects your access to information, news, and public affairs that you can use. You know, I contribute what I think as a retiree I can afford per month, about $15. We like to think of an hour's wage per month as a standard that you might want to think about. So if you make $10 a month, you know, I mean $10 an hour, contribute $10 a month. If you're up in the $20 range per hour, contribute $20 a month. You need it. KBOO needs it. Do it now. 877-500-5266. Become a KBOO member or go to online to kboo.fm.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James, and I'm here with
Amy Johnson.
Tonight, we'll hear audio from radio journalism students at the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn. The youth discuss clemency, the school to prison pipeline, and they perform the spoken word. The McLaren Radio Journalism class is a partnership between Morpheus Youth Project, Hope Partnership, and KBOO. KBOO producer Carlos Chavez has been the instructor for the weekly McLaren radio journalism class for 5 years. Carlos trains the youth to become KBOO certified radio journalists. We have to also thank Kathleen Fullerton, from McLaren, who oversees the project. So, Amy, who's up first?
Well, up first, we've got the youth talking about Oregon Senate Bill 553, which is a bill that's being touted to help reduce and curb the school-to-prison pipeline. And what Senate Bill 553 is doing is it's imposing limits on instances when students in fifth grade or less or younger can be suspended or expelled. It requires consideration of the age of the student and their past pattern of behavior prior to suspending or expelling a student. And it requires that school districts take steps to prevent the reoccurrence of those actions of the students so that their instruction is not disrupted or is disrupted as little as possible. So it is a step in the right direction from most of our points of view. And again, that's an Oregon bill. It's Senate Bill 553. And so we want to hear from the youth their opinions about it.
Good evening. This is McLaren's Community Voice. Our discussion today is going to be the bill to curb school-to-prison pipeline under 553. So what this bill is about is basically limiting the suspension and being able to be expelled from schools. Examples, kids are getting expelled for things as easy as being late to class. You know, small things like that. So what this bill is trying to do is to make it harder for kids to be expelled, putting a little more pressure on the teachers and asking for the teachers' help to help the kids more than they have been in the past. So that's what our discussion is today. I'm Marcos. I'm here with
Jose,
Mario,
and
Pavel.
So just to get this cracking, you know, get this ball rolling, we're going to just start with opinions on this bill and negatives and positives we believe it could bring.
So what I think about this bill is that it'll be good because how our younger generation is going to be able to get a second chance pretty much, because us as in me, for example, when I was growing up, they didn't have this, and I was sent to an alternative school, and for poor decisions that I made, and I could have had a second chance and maybe would have thought about it, focused more, and did something positive in school. And I think the alternative schools pretty much get you ready for prison. They metal detect you. They search you and make sure you can't wear certain things. And it's just pretty much preparing you for prison. And they don't give you that second chance. So I feel that this next younger generation should have the opportunity, that second chance at a new start, and not just sent straight to alternative school or discipline for something minor. So I believe that this bill will help our generation, and especially us minorities like Latinos and African Americans that they target for little reasons. They see us as of color, just target them and just want to send them away. So I think this bill will help our culture and just help out the young generation.
Moving on to Mario.
All right, so my take on this new bill to pass. You know, at first I didn't know whether it was going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but now, you know, I've had a little bit more conversation with the guys here, and I think, yeah, it's a good thing, you know, because in my days also they were, you know, suspending you for anything. The school administrators and teachers, they didn't really, you know, help, or they didn't, you know, care. That's how I felt. That's how I took it, you know. I'm kind of basing it on race and, you know, gender, but like I feel like they didn't care. So it's like now it's gonna be harder for the school or the education system to suspend you and expel the kids now for minor things. You know, it's gonna have to be something, you know, which, whether it be required by law or for physical, you know, or like causing physical harm to students or, you know, their employees. So I think it's a good thing, you know. Alternative school is not good, you know. It just, like Jose said, you know, that's kind of, you know, desensitize you and get you familiar, you know, when you do it, if you do end up going to prison.
This is Pavel, and I think this bill, if it passes, it's a step in the right direction. But the question that comes up in my mind is, what's going to prevent schools from housing those kids in the troublemaker classroom, like making the classroom and just housing them? Yeah, they're going to be supervised, but are they going to be working with them to make it better, or is it just going to be taking them out of the classroom and put them in a separate classroom instead of suspending them? And instead of doing that, I'm hoping that they're going to implement something like restorative justice or nonviolent communication to work through the youth problems and then help them to understand more. Because most of the people who do misbehave and do things, they kind of asking for help. That's the only way they know how, because they have problems too and nobody really realizes them or listens to them.
And with that said, I'd like to get some opinions on how you guys believe that teachers will be able to kind of step it up and help out.
I believe personally that, yeah, it's a lot of falls on teachers, but teachers not the only one or not the main problem. Because if you really look at it, it's a district problem, it's a city problem, it's a state problem, it's a country problem. And instead of building prisons, they could spend that money into schools. And because with every budget cut, you see curriculums being cut, like sports, music, something that gets kids involved and actually want to go to school. Because if you just produce writing and math class and science, most kids don't want it because that's not interesting. You got to mix up something that they need with something that's more interesting, but both of them that benefit them. And so with the budget cuts, you have now bigger classes with the same amount of teachers. So instead of one teacher teaching like 20 kids, now they're teaching 30-something kids. And they can only have so much attention to each person. So I think that's a problem. I think we should have more money going to schools, especially schools that's in the poverty area that has more minorities, because those ones cannot fundraise as much money as the higher district schools.
So there you have it, right from the mouth of the youth. And that bill, again, that they've been talking about, it's Senate Bill 553. And it was passed in the Senate in April. And now it is in the Oregon House. And again, that's an Oregon state bill. So if you want to show your support for the bill, then call your legislators down in Salem. It is a step in the right direction. Of course, it's not going to be ending the challenges that we have, but it definitely does give us some help to those younger students, grade five or lower, and really taking some steps to make sure that they'll be out of classroom as little as possible. So again, Senate Bill 553.
And we want you to call your legislators about Senate Bill 553, but we also are in the middle of KBOO's membership drive, and we want you to call KBOO right now, 877-500-5266. Show your support for KBOO. Show your support for Prison Pipeline. This is so important to hear the voices from McLaren. I am so excited about KBOO's partnership with the McLaren Youth and this journalism class. You just heard the voices from McLaren, and what insight. And it's so exciting to think that these young men are going to be KBOO certified and possibly come to KBOO or go on to be world-class journalists. And as a result of this class, who knows what their potential is, but you're hearing the voices. Support KBOO. KBOO is a local, our community radio station. What other radio station is partnering with people or the kids, the children, or anyone in prison? And we want you to support that. Please go online, kboo.fm, click on the dollar sign up in the right-hand corner to donate, or toll-free 877-500-5266. Please give us a call. Show your support for KBOO and Prison Pipeline. Next, we have two people. We have Jeremy and Ezekiel, and they are going to perform a spoken word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I wrote some poetry, and I titled it Moving Forward. The oppression of our people brought on by a crumbling society. Our people slipping in the violence and crime through the cracks in our foundations. From these cracks arise poverty, discrimination, and oppression of the people. But these actions, these ways of life, are brought on by the people, brought on by the onset of one's mind. If this all continues, our crumbling society will be just a pile of dust, a remnant of the people. We as a society must put aside all differences and come together as a whole, because one voice is but a dull thrum, but many is a catastrophic echo. And with this voice of power echoing across all nations, we may fill the cracks in our foundations and survive, not as a remnant, but as a society.
This is a poem I wrote. It's just thinking about how I used to do some stuff, and I was stuck doing that stuff for a little while. So this is how it goes. Look through these eyes to see what I've seen. Drugs and love is what I found in the streets. Day by day, not going to sleep. Up all night, have to tweak. Talk so fast and live so quick. By a couple of days, I felt so sick. Now I'm lost in the world, going through a trip. Walking in the guys and riding with the click. Living my life, smoking the shit. But all I ever got was a Vita full of trips. In the back of my mind, I think of this. How my life changed when reality hit. Since 20 years, life's a bitch. Can't find a peace of mind, stuck living in the ditch. Time to move, try to do this. Better my life and never quit.
It doesn't matter if we don't need 6 minutes.
And there you have it. That was Esquil and his amazing spoken word. And again, you heard that these youth are their at McLaren Correctional Facility right now. They're being trained as KBOO journalists. That's what happened for me. And that's one of the reasons that I support KBOO, asking you to call in at 877-500-5266. I mean, I walked into KBOO instead of being housed. It's actually for young men. So I wasn't at McLaren. So I want to make that clear. But I did have a shout out for the youth at Donald E. Long in E2. They wanted me to say hi because anyway, so if you would like to support KBOO, give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm. It's so important that you show your support right now during our spring membership drive.
Great, Amy. And next, I want to tell you a story about clemency. And we're going to hear from two more youth at McLaren, Pavel and Marcos. Now, they're talking about Sang Dao. Maybe some of you have heard about Sang in the news. But Sang Dao was 17 years old when he was arrested and convicted of attempted murder. He was tried as an adult under Measure 11, Oregon's mandatory minimum sentencing law, and he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. So Sang Dao was incarcerated at the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility until age 25, and he was then transferred to an adult Oregon prison after aging out of the juvenile system. And as you'll hear Pavel say, he went upstate. But while he was incarcerated at the McLaren Youth Facility, Sang Dao became a role model for other youth at the facility. He earned his high school degree and took advantage of all the programs available at McLaren. Youth Rights and Justice, a nonprofit law firm, helped Sang Dao file a clemency petition. And as one of his final acts before he left office, Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber signed an order to reduce Sang Dao's sentence by almost 4 years. And what's remarkable about this, Sang Dao is now out of prison. He was granted clemency. He completed college with an undergraduate degree in criminal justice. So congratulations, Sang Dao. But what's even more remarkable about this story is that Dao's petition for clemency was supported by the judge who sentenced him, a number of Oregon Youth Authority staff and volunteers, several elected officials, including Multnomah County District Attorney, a county commissioner, Portland Mayor Charlie Hales, and Portland's former police chief. Dao's petition for a reduced sentence was also supported by his victims. A remarkable restorative justice story. So congratulations again to Sang Dao. Now here's Pavel and Marcos.
Today's topic is going to be about the justice system here. Not only DOC, but OIA overall. And second looks, clemencies.
It's right about that time when Sang is going to be getting out too, right?
Yeah, he was granted his clemency. He had a total of, 15 years. He's getting out 4 years earlier, I think, this month. Talk about that.
Well, that was the first clemency that people got in a while.
Yeah, that was the first in a while. Also the first of 2015. And someone like Sang, you know, hands down, he earned it. He worked so hard. He's completed so much, you know, through schooling, programs, treatments, all types of stuff.
How long you know him?
Sang Dao, I've known Sang Dao for about 5 years. Yeah, he's always been a good guy since I got here in 2009 in November. He's always been a good, positive role model, mentor. And also, we were in SITP together, Secure Intense Treatment Program. And being there, you weren't allowed to do a whole lot. You're very, very limited. But Sang being Sang, the way he was, he earned his way, like, to be able to leave the unit. You know, a lot of guys aren't, you know, able to do that. But with all the Sang's attitude, the things that he was doing, his treatments that he was completing, they allowed him to, step out of that unit and participate in some events. I know he was involved in, I think, some Aztec or powwow events and Hispanic event, which he helped set up, clean up, serve food, and, you know, do a lot of stuff. And, I mean, my eyes, that goes to show right there, you know, that from the get-go, he had he'd been working towards, you know, the positives.
Yeah, unlike some guys here, he actually, as soon as he got out from SITP, and then into general population, he started college, and I mean, he got a bachelor's.
Yeah, he's graduated, got some degrees and stuff, and that's very positive. I mean, I know that, you know, Sang being a mentor, a lot of guys, you know, when they see that, I know that motivates him. That motivates me, you know what I'm saying? And especially seeing Sang, you know, with all that he's worked towards and all that he's accomplished, being able to get out, you know, that's really inspiring to me. To, you know, do the same thing and just to focus on the positives and just move forward.
Yeah, he motivated me quite well too with a couple other guys. That's why I started college and I'm trying to get my associates.
Yeah, I agree. And there's, like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of guys who are in the same boat as Sang right now as far as success, college, schooling, work, you know, treatments, and then being mentors. There's a lot of guys like that here. And you know, I like to see these guys, you know, and this basically heading the same route that Sang has, you know, being able to
I guess, get their second looks, clemencies, and all that, they'd be a good addition to the community, you know, the outside community.
Especially people who is about to go upstate. Like, there's some successful people who've been here for a while, and I mean, they did everything. They went beyond, you know, the limits. They started doing leadership, college, work. I mean, they're really involved and changed this community, and it's kind of sad to see them going upstate. And I mean, from how productive they're here, if they're getting released from here to community, you think it would be better than going upstate? And then would that population or that culture would change them or not?
If you've done 5 years here at McLaren and you've accomplished so much, then you got to go upstate for another 5 years, you know, 6 years, 8 years, you know, it doesn't matter. Over time, I feel that it could have a negative effect on you. I believe that there should be other ways than, you know, different options, you know, once you've completed so much here. But it's just with the laws here in Oregon, you know, the Measure 11s and all that, the mandatory time, you know, it's very difficult.
But from what I hear from other people, it's less productive compared to here. So you think that that time is basically dead time? It's not productive for the guys who's living from here, who's successful?
You can learn so much skills here, learn so much knowledge on, you know, whatever it is that you've gone to school for or the jobs that you had here. But you go to prison and you got to do so much amount of time there. They don't have the same opportunities there. You know, those skills that you've learned, I mean, I believe that they can slowly, you know, in a way, I guess, fade away. You know, versus if you're able to get out, you're able to put those skills to use, you know, ASAP right away. And you know, I believe that that's what would help me at least, you know, continue to be successful, is being able to do what you like, do what you love, and move forward, you know. But when you got to go to prison, it kind of puts its hold on that.
So do you have any time upstate, or are you getting out from here?
No, I got about a year, a little over a year and a half here left in McLaren. Then I'll be going upstate for another 8 years. So that's why, me personally, I'm trying to do, you know, as much as I can here to be successful, you know, staying out of trouble, working, just schooling, and, you know, just treatments and everything, you know, hoping that that I'll be able to be, you know, in the same position as saying, you know, with the clemency, second look, anything. Now, that way, when I do go up, whether it's court or anything, not only will I have something to see, but the courts and the judges will have something to see as far as my history, my success here at McLaren, the things that I've been able to do and accomplish.
Let's, for instance, say that you will get clemency. How some of those skills you'd be able to use? Can you point out certain skills and how you'd be able to use right off the bat if you walk out from here?
Yeah, definitely. Since I've been here, I've been doing a maintenance here at McLaren, the plumbing. I've been, and the connections that I have, you know, with the plumbers here. Yeah, if I was to get out, I'd be enrolled in the apprenticeship, and I could get things going pretty quick.
So, again, Marcos and Pavel, and you heard the importance of a second chance, a second look, earned review for these youth who are spending their very important years, their maturation years behind bars. They're doing the time, they're doing the work to prepare for release to the community. They're ready to go, and they, under Oregon's Measure 11, they have to serve day for day, no time off for good behavior, no second look for these youth. And we just have to find a better way. That's why, again, Senate Bill 553 is so important, that it interrupts those behaviors at a very young age instead of allowing them to continue and grow to that point where we are incarcerating our babies, literally, for years, for sometimes decades. As you heard, Marcos was going upstate or to the adult prison for another 8 years beyond the juvenile prison. So please, again, vote in favor of or call your representatives about earn review for these youth, a second look. And also, again, call for Senate Bill 553. So, Amy, who do we have next?
Well, we have a short piece about a toy drive that the youth have already run one time with their leadership program that you heard mentioned. And they're running it again. And let's start that off right now.
Welcome. I'm here with some of the members in leadership group who will speak about connecting back with the community. Can you please introduce yourselves?
Ezekiel.
Parrish.
Can you please tell me a little bit about how are you going to interact or connect back with the community?
This all started through a Hispanic group, and a lady came from PCC. Her name's Liliana, and she asked us what we wanted to do, and me and another couple guys were thinking, you know, like, what we really do need is toys for the toy center here at McLaren, at the visiting center, because when I first arrived here to McLaren, there wasn't much of anything at the visiting center for your families to interact with your families and reconnect and going through a healing process. And a lot of us have young family members, either nieces and nephews. Some guys here are parents. So we decided we wanted to do a toy drive, and we got together with Liliana, and we decided we were going to do that and a soccer match. So me and another gentleman that's no longer here, who was part of leadership through whole partnership here at McLaren, and we made a flyer. We talked around the units and asked the youth for their help and their participation. We got staff involvement, and Liliana helped us out in the community out there and got donations from PCC. And our plan is to start another toy drive. Hopefully this is our plans, start a new toy drive. And I'm gonna let Parrish tell a little bit more of what we want from this next toy drive and what we learned from the last one.
Our hopes are that we can join with the community and find places out there where we can help collect new or gently used toys. And hopefully, when we're hoping that we can collect enough to where it will be sustainable, so that when one breaks or starts to wear down, we have some to replace it. And we're trying to come up with new creative ways to keep toy fundraising going.
And that was the information about the toy drive. And if you'd like to be giving some donations to the toy drive, Carlos Chavez was happy to give you information about that. So his telephone number is 503-998-4208. 503-998-4208. And again, that's Carlos Chavez if you want to get involved with the toy drive that the McLaren youth that you've just been listening to are organizing. And that's the number that you really want to be calling right now, though, is the one to contact us at KBOO for our membership drive.
Wow, that was Prison Pipelines. And before I put out the number, I'd like to send a shout out to Robert in Salem, to Esther in Northeast Portland. She likes to listen to the Noontime Jamboree. Right now, we're in the middle of our springtime membership drive. We'd like you to call. We'd like the sound of music of those telephones ringing. And we'd like you to call 877-500-5266. Or you can join in on a secure online at kboo.fm. And I'm here today with Jamie.
Hey, Tina. This is an amazing, amazing show, Prison Pipeline. Where else are you going to hear the voices of prisoners, young prisoners, interviewing each other for the radio? Nowhere. This is the place. KBOO brings it to you. And if KBOO reaches you, then reach out to us. If KBOO moves you, then move us. Do the right thing. Be the change, you know? Yes, we can. Si se puede, get in here and dial 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. Now, Tina and I are both programmers. We do labor radio. We're both volunteers. And, you know, this is what we're what makes KBOO happen, and you are what makes KBOO happen. But only 1 out of 10 of our listeners have joined KBOO as members, and 9 out of 10 of you have joined us with your ears, your mind, and heart, but now it's just take care of the paperwork.
Jamie's right. What we're asking you to do is to donate a latte. Those are usually around $5 or sometimes $6.50. You can do one a month. You can join in. You can give an hour of your wages each month to help keep the radio station going. You can help us help you keep Oregon relevant.
Yeah, you know, there's 55,000 people that listen to KBOO each week, but only 5,000 of you are active members. And listening is free, but it's not free to produce. The transmitter and translator tower rental is $51,000. The utilities are $42,000. There's the newswire service, the Democracy Now, the free is equipment repair and replacement. And you know, 80% of our annual budget comes from you, the listener. We have these wonderful programs, but it's a community of 500 volunteers with less than 10 staff, and we need your support. 877-500-5266 to become a KBOO member or make a secure donation online at kboo.fm.
If you join at the $75 limit, you can plant a tree and help keep Oregon a breathable state.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important that you do call us right now. It's KBOO is amazing, and it's amazing that I can be trained as a journalist. It's amazing that these youth can be trained as journalists through KBOO, and that's what you're supporting when you pledge your donation right now at 877-500-5266. And you've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank our guests, the youth at McLaren, and also our engineer, Mike. Good night.
Good night.
Baby, you understand me now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Shake the Dust, May 23rd and 24th at the Clinton Street Theater. Executive producer and rapper Nasir Jones takes a fascinating look at how hip-hop and the acrobatic breakdancing culture strike a resonant chord in the slums, favelas, and ghettos of the world, inspiring young people everywhere to enact social change.